The worker arrives home. The worker arrives home tired from a very long day's work, physically demanding. But the worker carries something important, something that must be shared. So though tired from the constant and endless work of the day, this industrious being does what's necessary. This worker begins to dance. Each and every turn and spin, every pause, relaying an important part of a journey. For our worker is a busy little bee, and they must share with their community where all of the beautiful flowers await. See, this July, we are watching the life of a plant as a model for successful living. You see, we're taking seriously Jesus when he said, "Consider the lilies of the field." We're using the season of creation as a chance to understand the systems for healthy living that God has created. We studied the hope and direction of a seed, the resiliency of taking root, and this week we turn to the plant itself. Now, not the product of the plant, like the flower or the fruit. That conversation is for next week. But today we look at the plant as a whole, healthy, living, growing organism. Now, talking about plants and not rushing to discuss the flower or the fruit is a surprisingly difficult task. There are so many great things to talk about with flowers and bearing fruit. That sermon almost writes itself. One could not find as many things when it comes to just plant. One, however, could discuss, say, the stem or the trunk. Right? You almost this week got a sermon entitled Growing Out But Not Growing Up, based on how trees grow. But this week I was stung with inspiration at the interplay, the interdependence of the plant and the honeybee. Maybe you've heard before the dire predictions that if the honeybee were to become extinct, humanity would follow very closely after. You see, the role and function of the honeybee, paired with the wisdom of our scriptures, might actually help us keep from exterminating ourselves long before that point in the timeline. Because it seems like we might even beat that whole bee-pocalypse to our own demise the way we act as human beings sometimes. Perhaps you've noticed, I don't think it takes much listening to recognize that rhetoric is ratcheting up, that discourse is getting distasteful, and there seems to be a competition amongst the news networks to see who can cram more ideologues onto the screen at the same time. How can they fit 8 little boxes of nonstop talking, yelling heads on my screen at the same time? I think one of our biggest problems as people today is that we can no longer discuss our problems as a society. That in and of itself is one of our problems. Some of you have heard me mention this before. I love this story. There was a study about 7-8 years ago that took place right here in Colorado. These sociologists came and went to Boulder and looked for some liberal people. They went to the right place. And they went to Boulder, they found some liberal people, and they had them take a test to determine how liberal they were. And then they sent them on a multi-day retreat up in the mountains with other liberal people. Then they went to Colorado Springs to look for some conservative people. Again, they picked a good place, and they had these conservative people take a test to determine how conservative they were, and then they sent them on a different multi-day retreat with the other conservatives. The conversations at each of these separate retreats focused on political issues, all sorts of hot-button issues. They got to sit and discuss with people who believed and thought like them, and after the retreat, they brought everybody home and gave everyone the same test that they'd taken before the retreat. They discovered that by talking only with people who agreed with them, the liberals had gotten much more liberal, and the conservatives have gotten much more conservative. They coined a sociological term for this, and they called it ideological amplification. I refer to it as birds of a feather flock further off course. You see, this study was done at the very front end of what has become this social media revolution. How we can customize and hyper-focus the news that we hear through our news feeds, our favorite websites that have a slant, and the people we spend our time talking with. We can now so easily live in a sound chamber of agreement that our daily lives become a permanent ideological retreat. And thus we see our extremes getting more extreme. I was contemplating this throughout the last week, actually throughout the last months, watching it unfold in our world, watching it unfold in our denomination, watching it unfold in my own life, when I was stung by this idea about the bee. I don't know if you realize the bee's most important role is not the honey that they produce, but the life they diversify as they move flower to flower and plant to plant. To refresh your memory, those of you who haven't been watching the Wildcrats at home learning all about this, as the bee moves from pollen source to pollen source, gathering for its hive, the pollen of their last stop sticks to their legs and falls into the flower of whatever plant they land on next. This is a little moment of cross-pollinization. It's so small in its physical occurrence. Think about this tiny grain of pollen falling off of the tiny leg of a tiny insect. But what happens in that tiny moment is huge. A healthy plant can't pollinate itself. There are a few exceptions that prove this rule, but sustainable, healthy plants require input from another source. And this was my motivation for a sermon on bees. So I went to our scripture looking for a bee-related metaphor. Now, it turns out there's a lot of honey mentioned in the Bible, but not a lot of bees. The only one I found quickly was when Samson tears a lion in half and bees end up taking hive inside of it. I didn't know how I was going to preach that. I will at some point, I promise you, but not today. But then I found something amazing in a scripture I had never read before. Now, the majority of our Bible, I have worked my way through both in my own personal Bible study and in my academic work, but there are a few places specifically in the Apocrypha that I have not spent a lot of time. Interestingly enough, we preached from Sirach just a couple weeks ago. It was the day I did the brown bag sermon based on something I'd never seen before and had to write it during the service. I preached from the book of Sirach, which is a wisdom book, much like Proverbs, included in what's called the Apocrypha. It's like this little appendix of books that after they'd put the rest of the Bible together, they went, oh, we just found these. They're great. We should have put them in. Let's just shove them in as an addendum. It shows up in almost every academic Bible and in the majority of Catholic Bibles as well. So in my search for bees, I came across this amazing passage from Sirach. And what the author has included is about how to be wise in our disagreements, which is exactly what I wanted to preach about anyway. So here's the metaphor I wanted and the meaning I was going for, and it was already written. Hear these words from the wisdom of Sirach. The wisdom of humble people raises up their heads, and it will seat them among those with grandeur. Don't praise people for their beautiful looks, and don't despise people for their appearance. The bee is small among flying creatures, but its produce is the origin of everything sweet. Don't take pride in the way you dress. Don't promote yourself when you are being honored, because the Lord's works are wonderful, and God's works are hidden from humans. Many tyrants have been made to sit on the ground, and one who was never expected to rule has worn a crown. Many rulers have been dishonored, and those who once held honor have seen it handed over to others. Don't find fault before you investigate. Consider first and then reprimand. Don't answer before you listen, and don't interrupt someone who is speaking. Don't argue about things that don't matter to you, and don't get caught up in things between sinners. There is a lot there, so let's start with the bees. The bee is small among flying creatures, but its produce is the origin of everything sweet. We're not talking honey here, folks. The origin of everything sweet. Every flower, every fruit, every healthy plant that offers shade, cushions our feet, or trims our path. Everything. Here in this discourse about healthy discourse, our scriptures remind us of the importance of getting ourselves into a variety of perspectives. And we're reminded that that is no small feat. Now, to bookend this new favorite scripture of mine, there are also two passages about humility. The wisdom of humble people raises their heads. We hear the scriptures remind us, many tyrants have sat on the ground. One who was never expected to rule has worn a crown. Those who brought themselves on or have been handed over to others. You know, it feels like this could have been a scripture Jesus was referencing when he talked about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. This idea of not thinking too much of ourselves. I tell you, the first step toward healthy conversation is to not put ourselves above those who think differently than us. Now, this can be very difficult when we are confronted with ideas or beliefs that are outright discriminatory. So I'm going to take a page from a book I don't usually use, the Sinner, Not the Sin book. Allow me to adapt this often horribly applied insight in a different way. We can draw a line and refuse to accept discriminatory language, discriminatory actions, and discriminatory politics. But we should not demean the individuals who believe it by assassinating their entire character. We can disagree with the idea and not villainize the individual. To do so undermines not only our point, but most importantly, it undermines any chance of relationship. And relationship is one of the most important revelations that the plants and the bees offer us. Each flower and each plant needs something outside of themselves to grow. And I'm not just saying that we need them so we can grow. They also need us so they can. You see, this is not just a plea for the right and the left, for conservative and liberal to all just end up somewhere in the middle. There are values and beliefs that I hold personally, spiritually, theologically, politically. There are values and beliefs that I hold that are not going to become more moderate by spending people who think differently than I do. Though I may not be changed, I do need to be challenged. We all need to be exposed to the immense variety of opinion and belief that fills our world, and to do so in a way that respects the humanity we share with those who think differently than we do, even those who are diametrically opposed. And in order to engage such difference in a wise manner, I return to the advice of our scriptures. Don't find fault before you investigate. Consider first, then reprimand. Don't answer before you listen, and don't interrupt when someone is speaking. Don't interrupt seems so simple, but I do it all the time. And I'm not the only one. Even harder is to the practice of taking a breath before speaking, which allows space for thought and reflection. And when you're in a group, other voices that may not come in as quickly as your own, oh, that's hard. But this ties back into our scripture, that idea of not answering before we listen. I mean, how many of us know what we're going to say before the person we're going to say it to isn't even finished talking? How many conversations are entered into with the conclusion already written in the minds of the participants, the words in between hello and my final point, simply a formality of the foregone conclusion that I'm ready to share? I refer back to the wisdom of one of my best friends. God gave us two ears, one mouth. Take the hint and listen more than you talk. I was amazed at the insight our scriptures offered this week. I was just looking for bees. The bee is so small among the flying creatures, but its produce is the origin of everything sweet. Diversity of thought is not a problem to be overcome. It is a gift of God that comes naturally with our free will. And engaging it, honoring it, that will make us stronger, it'll make us wiser, it'll make us healthier as people. So I pray today. I pray these words might be their own little dance that sends you out into the world to exchange ideas among the many flowers we will encounter. May you be blessed and be a blessing as you seek to do so. Amen.